We're holding on Ayin Tes Amud Bey's last words. We learned in the Mishnah we had a case of a Ritzeach that was mixed up with other people. So we said the Tanakhama had said they're all potter, and Rabbi Yehuda had said Koin Sinois in L'Kippah. We put them all in a kippah, which, according to Rashi, is the same kippah that we're going to talk about in the next Mishnah. Not the next Mishnah, a couple of Mishnayos later. On Daf Pei Aleph, we're going to talk about the very confined area where they put him on a starvation diet, so his stomach shrinks, and then later on they feed him barley and his stomach explodes, etc., as we'll talk about it then. But according to the Aruch HaNer, according to the Aruch HaNer explains that the Rambam would say that Kippah is just plain old a jail of a holding cell. So we said that, now we were saying, so what exactly is the case over here? If those other people are innocent people, then what's the chiddush that they're all potter, and why would Rabbi Yehuda say Koin Sinois in L'Kippah? So far we had two answers. We had Rabbi Bohu in the name of Shmuel, that we're talking about all of them are Rotzchim, but one of them was actually convicted by Beis Din, and the other one is we have the Beis Din hasn't given out the conviction yet. And the problem is that in Gurmin Dina Shel Adam, El Bafanav, we can't give the verdict unless we know that he's present, and each one of them, we don't know whether he's present or whether it's somebody else. So the Tanakh, so but given that they are all guilty, we have enough ev we have evidence to say that all of them are guilty, just based it hadn't yet given the verdict on some of them. Then Rabbi Yehuda says you put them in the kippah, and the Chum say they're still potter. Then we had an answer of Rish Lakish that we're not talking about people at all, we're talking about animals that got mixed up. One Shur HaNiskol, one animal that killed and now therefore is Chayiv Skila, that got mixed up with a bunch of other ones. And we talked about yesterday about why we wouldn't say that the one is bottle in all of them. For one thing, we say that animals are not bottle, but Tosfos also discusses in some detail over here whether there's maybe any possibility that we could be unmevatel them by having them move around, and then we would go according to Rav. And we talked about that a little bit yesterday, and we'll talk about it more. We'll talk about it more. Bez Hashem, in connection with points further in the Gemara over here. Now another answer. Omar Rava. Rava says here's a different explanation of what's going on in the Mishnah. Well, first Rava asks, Ihachi, if you're gonna tell me, like Rish Lakish, that you're talking about the case where you have a bunch of animals mixed up, one of which is a shor haniskol and the other ones are not. So Ihachi, if you're gonna say that, says Rava, Katani Allah, what about then we have a Braisa referring to our Mishnah that continues, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Afilo Abba Chalafta Beinehen. Rabbi Yossi says you should know the din of our Mishnah would apply even if Abba Chalafta was between them. Now the general understanding is that Rabbi Yossi is Rabbi Yossi Berab Chalafta, and therefore Chalafta is his father. So he said, and Rabbi Yossi's father, Rabbi Chalafta, was known to be a great chosid. We find in a number of places in Shas where it refers to him as such. So Rabbi Yossi is saying that even if the din of our Mishnah would be that even if one of them is Abba Chalafta, my father Chalafta, who was known to be a chosid, and there's no way that he would have killed anybody, nevertheless, we can't say, well, for sure he wasn't the Ritzeach over here, and therefore, fine, let's just exempt him for sure, and then we'll start dealing with what we do with everybody else. No, we have to consider that we have this mix-up, and therefore whatever din applies to the rest of them is going to apply to him. By the way, I mean, we know a person is not allowed to call his father by his name. The Vilna Gaon actually learns from here that we from here and from similar other things elsewhere in Shas that we see that if a person prefixes a title to it, he would be allowed to, because here Abba is a title. It doesn't just mean it means my father, but it was also a title of respect that they used in those days, similar to Reb or something like that. With that said, though, the Margoliyos HaYam brings the possibility that maybe Rabbi Yossi over here is not Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta, but rather a different Rabbi Yossi, and in that case, then there's no proof, because then obviously he'd be allowed to refer to him by his name, but he's referring to him with a title. In any case, the point is, Rava says, if Rabbi Yossi is referring to Rabbi Chalafta being part of that crowd, then obviously we can't be talking about it's a bunch of animals mixed together. Necessarily, we're talking about people. But then we're back to, so now Rabbi Bo's explanation was that we're talking about people. First of all, you'd have a problem with that anyway, because again, we're saying they're all convicted, they are all Rotzchim, just that one of them was convicted and others and the other is not. Well, that still doesn't fit with the idea, supposing that one of them was Abba Chalafta. But if, in any case, also you have the question that Rish Lakish had asked oh no, we didn't have a question that Rish Lakish asked, but fine, yeah. How would so it wouldn't work out according to either of the previous answers. Ella Omer Rava Hachi Kamar. Rather, Rava says the Mishnah is talking about as follows: Shnayim Shoyu Oimdim. The Mishnah is telling the Mishnah is telling us as follows. Suppose you have two people standing there, v'horag. All of a sudden, an arrow came from their direction and killed somebody, but we don't know which one of the two of them shot that arrow. So in other words, Rava is going to tell us now the case Rabbi Boho was talking about is to begin with, we based in knew who's who. To begin with, they had a they had a, they had A bunch of people. They had a Ritzeach who was brought over there for conviction, and they convicted him. And then we have other Rotzchim that were also brought there, and they heard the Eidos and all of that. They just hadn't given the verdict yet. But so this is, in other words, that Beis Din knew to begin with which one of that each one of them killed and knew the circumstances. Here we're talking about. Rava says in the case of our Mishnah is where they didn't know to begin with which one it was that killed. So here you have all of a sudden there came flying an arrow from the direction of these two people, and we have no way of knowing which one it was that actually shot it. So now Rava is saying, so that would be so Shneim Pturin, so both of them would be Potter. So both of them would be Potter. Now Rava says that's not actually the case where Rabbi Yehuda would be arguing and saying Koin Sinois and Lekippah. How could Rabbi Yehuda say that you're going to put them in the kippah when one of them is innocent? So Rava is going to explain basically that the Mishnah is chasuri mechsera. The Mishnah is missing words, but he's going to say you have two dinim in the Mishnah. The first case is where we don't even know which one of them killed. So then shneim pturin. So then both of them are potter. V'amar Rabbi Yosi, and on that in the Braiser, Rabbi Yosi says afilo abba chalafta beinehen, even if one of those two people was abba chalafta. Meaning, in other words, there's no, you would think, or there's no possibility that he's the one who shot the arrow and killed. Wouldn't that necessarily mean, therefore, that it has to have been the other person? And maybe that should be enough evidence, if not maybe to execute him in Beis Din. Fine, we need Edom v'Asra and all that, but maybe at least to punish him, so maybe at least to punish him severely. Rabbi Yossi says no, because the fact is that we don't have, it's true. Logically, we would say there's no way that Abba Chalafta would have shot that arrow, but nevertheless, the possibility still exists, and therefore you can't punish the other guy based on that. So that's the Meiri points out what we mean is even if both of them were given Hasra, it's still not going to help because the fact is we don't know which one actually acted on that Hasra. Anyway, so that's the first part of the Mishnah. Then Rava says that now the Mishnah is also continuing with another case, so it's kind of like a chasuri mechsera. V'shur shenigmar dinai. And then you have now. I agree, says Rava, that part of the Mishnah is talking about a shur, like Rish Lakish said, but not the whole Mishnah because then Rabbi Yossi's statement wouldn't fit with it. So now a second point in the Mishnah is v'shur shenigmar dinai. When you have a shur that was convicted by Beis Din, and is going to be given skila. She's out of Vishvara and it's mixed up with other perfectly good with other perfectly good oxen. Then the Mishnah would not be then the Mishnah the Tanakhama would be saying you give them all skila, because of the suffix, because we don't know which one is the Shoraniskal. All of them are chayav. All of them are going to be also bahana, and therefore we're going to have to give them skila. And here is where Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Koin Sinois and Lakippah, and Rabbi Yehuda says we're not going to give them skila because we're not going to burden Beis Din with giving them skila when the whole matter is only a suffix. Rather, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, "Koinsinois on the kippah." We put them in the kippah, and eventually they die over there. So, in other words, Rabbi Yehuda is basically saying that, listen, you anyway have a suffix over here. One of them is vadai, fine, but the rest of them, but we don't know. And why should we be matriach based in to give skilla to a bunch of animals that may not be required? Just in order to be mekayim. So the Tanakhama is going to say that, yeah, you have to be mekayim the mitzvah of skilla. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds, don't be matriach based in. You just put him in the kippah. So here's where you have the point. In other words, that why don't we say that the one shur is that the one shur is batal b'roiv. So now this continues with the point that we were talking about in Tosfos yesterday. That usually we say there's batal b'roiv, and then on the other hand. So one point is Bali Chaim, animals are not bottle bereiv. But then in addition, you also have that the animals are choshev, they're not bottle. But then also part of that long Tosfos from yesterday that continues over most of this Amud, sure, part of it, Tosfos talks about the idea that maybe in fact, if the animal, as long as the animals are in one place, then like we learned yesterday, we have the concept of kavua, kol kavua, each one of them, even though it's only the minority, might be considered like is considered in halacha as though it was half the group. If they were to move around, then in fact we would say that it could be bottle, but we don't so Tosfos discusses the possibility that actually maybe you could be matred. In fact, you do that, make the animals move around, and then we would say then maybe we could go according to the roiv, and then it would be bottle. Maybe you can't do that lachatchila, but maybe at least you can do it b'diavad. So now actually, so that's so Marsha actually understands Tosfos to be saying that what we're going to do is we still have to figure out, is there one particular ox or a few particular oxen in this mixture that seem to be that it seems more likely are the ones that killed. Now, unlike with people where we can't kill them based on circumstantial evidence like that, with animals there's no din like that. So therefore, so we figure out by circumstantial evidence which one is more likely to be the killer, and then we can and then maybe we can give even according to the Chachamim, we can give skill only to that one, and then we can let the other ones go and say that and say that we can be toila, we can assume that that one was killed and the roiv are fine. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Tam himself says, and Rabbeinu Tam has, besides Tosfos over here, has a sefer of his own called Sefer HaYosher, Sefer of Halachas, and he explains that no, the fact is, since you have a mitzvah, or the outer HaRomik Kirbecha, you do have a din that based in is responsible to get rid of evil things. So therefore, they would have to, according to the Chachamim, they would have to give them all skila regardless, and we can't say that, then we can't say any idea of bittul beroiv. It seems that Marsha probably didn't have available Sefer HaYosher to him. Otherwise, he might not have understand Rabbi. Otherwise, he might not have understood Rabbi Natan the way he does. But then you also have other Rishonim who learn actually that no, even if the animals do move once they became Osir, then we can't be once they became Osir, we can't be matur them again. The Marshal talks about this, and Marshal in turn and answers on Marshal. So there's a lot of discussion about all this. Then there's another point that maybe lachatchila don't make them move around, and if you do, then it's called ein mevatlin issa lachatchila. But if they move around on their own, then in fact it'll be batal b'roiv. So there's a lot of lumdus that comes into this in connection with the whole matter of bittul b'roiv and when we can say it. When not. Okay. So in any case, so that's how Rava learns the Mishnah. So again, Rav Abohu and Rish Lakish had both understood that the Mishnah is talking about only one case. The first part of the Mishnah is talking about only one case, Ritzeach Shenis Arba Acherim, where Rav Abohu had understood it to be one Ritzeach that was convicted with a bunch of other Rotzchim who were not convicted, and Rish Lakish had understood it to be referring to animals. Now Rava is kind of combining those two explanations and saying there's two different dinim in the Mishnah. One where you have one where we don't even know which person was the killer, because an arrow just flew out from their area and we have no way of knowing which one it was that shot it. So then the then everybody agrees that they're Potter, and then you have the second part of the second case. Within that is, what if it was a bunch of oxen, one of which killed and the other ones didn't? Where the Chum say we give them all skila, and Rabbi Yehuda agrees we have to have them all die, but we don't want to be matriarch based in to do that, so we do this because it's just a suffix, and therefore we put them all on the kippah. Okay, and the Gemara says v'ha Tanya, and indeed we learn a brisa like the way Rava explains. Because the Braisa says, Parashe Misa v'achakach Yolda. If a cow killed someone and then afterwards it gave birth, usually we talk about a shur, which is a male, but here if we're talking about giving birth, we have to be talking about a female. So we know the din of shur aniskol applies to any animal, like we talked about the other day, for example, a snake that killed somebody, whether the snake is going to be Chayav Misa. So the same thing would be as far as a cow. So here the cow killed someone and later it gave birth. So iman shel enigma dina yolda. So the Braisa says if it gave birth before the gemar din vlada mutter, then the baby is then the baby is mutter. Because there's mutter b'hanah, because then it's not considered it's not considered part of its mother. The imish enigma dina yolda, but if the mother gave birth after the gemar din vlada aser, then the baby is aser because then it's considered part of the mother. So the gemara is going to analyze this braisa and figure it out. But then the braisa continues. The point is, in other words, that we're going to say as we go on in this braisa that we see that there's machloikas about if the animals get mixed up, which bears out Rava's explanation of the Mishnah that we're talking about where the animals got mixed up. So the Braisa continues, Nis'arev, if that animal that is Chayev Misa got, and then in this case we're talking about the baby, got mixed up with other ones, v'acherim, and even you have one member of the second group then got mixed up into a third group. Now, sometimes in halacha, we do say that even though we can't be mevatel, even though the original one is not batel in the second group, but sometimes we say if part of the second group gets mixed up into a third group, then sometimes we're going to say kol de parish, midor parish, that we can assume that the one that's also came from the roiv, that we can assume that the one that got mixed in came from the roiv, and the roiv is mutter, so therefore such a thing should be allowed. So Tosfos points out that there are other places where the Gemara talks about this idea about Sfek Sfeika, and there are in fact there are in fact different Gemaras where we discuss whether we have the Girsa Acherim Ba'Acherim or not. Here actually Tosfos says the Acherim Ba'Acherim would actually not necessarily mean, like we just said, that you had one member of the second group that then got mixed up into a third group, but rather we'd be talking about where the entire second group got mixed up into a third group. So in other words, the scenario would be you have this Vlad of the Parah that that gored and that killed somebody and therefore is going to be Chayav Misa. That Vlad we said was born after the Gemar Din and therefore it's also because it was part of the mother at the time of the Gemar Din. Now, if that baby gets mixed up with a group, and then if that entire second group, if that entire group gets mixed up with another group, then nevertheless, we're still going to say that that later group is also, even though Tosfos points out we have a double roiv. But because after all, you have the one Vlad that was mixed up with a bunch of others that are a larger number than it, and then you have that second that group was in turn mixed up with a larger group. So you have two roivs. Nevertheless, that's not good enough. But in other words, Tosfos is saying, according to that way of according to that way of explaining it, if in fact if what you would have is the Vlad got mixed up with a group, and then one member of that group went and got mixed up with another group, then maybe we would say that the second group is not going to be Chayiv Misa according to anybody, because then already we would say that we could assume that the one that's Osir was in the group that remained behind and not in the one individual that got mixed up with it. Okay. In any case, so there's so the Braisa is saying again that you have this Vlad got mixed up with others and others with others. So then Koinsenos and the Kippah, so then we put them all. So then we put them all in the kippah. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon Omer, Mevi'i Nosan in the Beis Din, V'Soikla Nosan, whereas Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon says, we bring them all to Beis Din and give them skila. So we see that the machloikas of Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon and the Tana Kamma is exactly the same as how Rava is understanding the machloikas in our Mishnah of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, namely, in a case of suffix like that, does Beis Din still have to fulfill the mitzvah of skila, and if that therefore means bringing all these animals and giving them skila, then so be it. Or Or is it going to be that that we don't want to be matriach based in when the whole thing is only a matter of suffix, and therefore we're not going to bother with skila, we're just going to put him in the kippah and have done with it, pay him an olive. So thus far the braisa. Now let's analyze this braisa. Amamar, Iman shel nigma dina yolda. We said if the parah that had killed gave birth before the gemar din vlada mutter, then the baby is mutter. Now the braisa did not distinguish when the parah became pregnant. So va'afagav dekinogcha hava me'abra. Does that mean that this din would apply even if the parah was pregnant at the time that it killed? And still, we'd say that if it gave birth before the Gemar Din, then the baby is not ulcer. Why? The baby of an animal that gored is ulcer. He of because she and the baby together did the negicha. In other words, basically, the baby is considered part of the mother. The baby was in the mother's womb at the time. So when the mother animal killed, the baby animal, so to speak, joined in the killing as well, and therefore should also be ulcer. So in other words, so it's one thing. So it's one thing we can distinguish. Maybe we can say that if it wasn't pregnant at the time yet of the negicha, and then later on it became pregnant, and then it gave birth before the gemar din. Fine, maybe you can say the baby should be mutter. But based on what Rava is saying, if the mother was in fact pregnant at the time, then so actually no, Rava, so Rava is actually talking about a case where Rava is talking about a case where the mother is not chayav misa, because the Rashi explains based on the relevant Gemara in Tmura that we're talking about where there was only one aid, or the owner himself came to Beis Din and admitted what happened. Either way, we don't give the animal skila. For that, you need two aidim. What we're talking about over here, rather, when Rava says vlad and agachas oser, he's talking about as far as bringing the vlad as a korban. Meaning, an animal that killed is possible to be brought as a korban, even if we don't have enough evidence to convict him. For example, there's only one aid. Nevertheless, such an animal is possible for a korban. So now Rava points out that applies not only to the mother, but also to the baby that she was carrying at the time. Because again, Vlada Nagachas also is also to be brought as a korban. He of Vlada Nagchu, because it's considered that the mother and the baby together did the Negicha. So again, even though we're not talking about where we're going to be executing them, but still, it's still possible as a korban. So, and the same way, Rava continues, Vlad Bas, also the same way, the baby of an animal that was used for bestiality, which is also possible for a korban, so the baby is also possible, he Vlad Nirbu, because again, you say that the revia had, was on the mother and the baby, basically, uber yerach imayhu, the baby is considered, the baby is considered a part of the mother, and therefore whatever happened to the mother is considered to have happened to the baby as well. This point of uber yerach imayhu is discussed in several places in Shas, but here Rava is saying that that's how it is. So now so now therefore so 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 now the previous braisa had said that which we said that this previous braisa bears out Rava's point. We said that the shur killed and then later on it gave birth, and we're only distinguishing between whether it gave birth before Gmar Din or afterwards. But Rashi explains, in other words, we do see, based on Rava's own din about he of Vlada Naghu, he of Vlada Nirbu, then we see, in other words, where there are Edim and there could be Skila involved, then in fact we have to then in fact the Gmar Din is going to apply to both of them. So in other words, because Rashi explains, we can't be saying the point is that there was no Gmar Din, that there was no Gmar Din on the baby. Then the mother, if we're talking about there was no Gmar Din, the mother's not also yet either. So the point is, in other words, that we're by saying that the Vlad is mutter in the previous Braisa, in effect, what we're saying is we don't have to bring that Vlad to Beis Din in the first place. Well, why not? Based on what Rava is saying, we should have to, because the Vlad was part of the mother at the time of the Negicha. And again, that's reason enough to make it also for a korban, and that should be reason enough also that if we're talking about where there are edim involved and it's being brought to Beis Din, then in fact we should be bringing the baby to Beis Din as well. So the answer is you're right. Emor, we have to fix up the previous braisa and say as follows that it is going to make that distinction. Im actually nigma din ibra v'yolda, if after the killing and before the gmar din, the mother became pregnant and gave birth, vloda mutter, then the baby is mutter because then you don't have the you can't say the baby is also because he of vloda nogcha because the baby did not exist at that time, it hadn't been conceived yet. And it was born before the Gemara Din, and therefore, at the time of the Gemara Din, it wasn't part of the mother either. Now the only problem is that the mother may be also, but no, because the mother is not also until Gemara Din. But if after the Gemara Din, the mother became pregnant and gave birth. So now the problem is that so even though it's true that the baby didn't exist yet at the time of the Negicha or the time of the Gemara Din, the problem is Vlada also, the Vlad is still going to be also because it came from a mother that is also. So we have, for example, in the halachas of kashrus, kol ha-yotzim and tomei, generally speaking, anything that comes from a non-kosher animal is itself non-kosher. So the same way over here, once the mother is chayav misa and also bahana, then the baby that comes from it is also going to be also. Well, the Gemara says, Zevze. Now let's consider a baby where you need a male and a female to produce a baby. Now the male that this cow mated with is not osir. If we're talking about it itself as a shur and iskal, then fine, we can talk about that. But we're talking about it's a plain old shur that mated with this female that had killed. And now, so what you have is what's called zevzeg godim. You have two factors that bring about the conception and eventually the birth of this baby animal, one that's osir and one that's mutter. So if you say, now, there's a machlokas in a number of places in Shas about this concept zevzeg godim. So in other words, a case like that, we have two factors that contribute to make something happen. One of them also, one of them mutter. We're going to have examples of that, for example, later this year in Masechta Avodah Zarah, for example, Be'ez Hashem, you have, let's say, a case where you take where a person plants something where a person plants something in under an asherah tree where the shade from the leaves that fall off the asherah tree help fertilize the soil, but the soil itself is mutter, so it's an example of zevzeg godim. So you have a number of examples like that. So now, if you and there's machlokas in various places. In Shas, Rashi points out the main place where it talks about it is in Masechta Temura, is in connection with these dinim about animals that are also to be brought as korbanos. So if you say Zev is a godim also, then fine. We're saying even though half of the genetic material for this baby came from a bull that's not osir, but the other half came from this cow that is osir because it's already gmar din. So therefore, you can say on that basis that the baby is osir. Also to be brought as a korban, and again that maybe that if there were edim, then you would actually have to bring it to Beis Din. Elul manda amas zev is a godem mutter, but if you're going to say zev is a godem is mutter, well then in that case, so why would there even be a question of the baby being also in the first place? Ma'ik lememar. Then what are you going to say? Yes, you have that half the baby comes from this potter that's also, but the other half comes from a shur which is mutter. And here we're talking about again. It wasn't conceived before the before it wasn't conceived before the attack. So therefore, you can't say he of Vladanogho. You can't say that it participated in the attack. It was and when it was conceived and born after Gemar Din, then fine. But you still have again that the only half of it comes from something that's also the other half comes from Heter. And why should that be a reason for the baby to be also? Tosfos actually points out that we have a concept also the Gemara discusses in other places. B'cholah, when it comes to animals, do we even take the father animal into consideration? One place this comes up is in the halachas of Osev es Benoi. We know the Torah tells us you know how to shecht the parent and baby animal on the same day. So we know that that applies to the mother animal and the baby. Does it also apply to the father? So that the Gemara discusses that point in Cholin, and it also discusses a relevant point over there is also if you have a hybrid between a domestic and a wild animal, as far as dinim As far as these dinim, because the din of osav esbonoi applies only to domestic animals. Anyway, you have so so now you also have then you have so Tosfos points out this braisa that we were saying before about koinsin l'kippah is according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda himself holds ein choshen l'zara'av. We don't even take into consideration the genetics of the father as far as we're concerned, even though of course biologically the baby comes from both parents. But as far as halacha is concerned, we discount the father when it comes to animals entirely. Well, then what do you mean zev zegodim? Then it comes out that you have the one animal, the mother, that produced this baby. So Tosfos says, first of all, the Gemara itself over there isn't sure whether Rabbi Yehuda himself is certain of that point or not. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda himself considers it as a suffix. And also Tosfos says another point there when you're talking about in Cholin, as far as Oisav Esmenoi, each one, the mother and the father by themselves, are mutter. The question is only as far as whether an Issur is created by the combination of them. But here you're talking about one of them is the mother animal, after all, is also. So therefore, so then we would say choshen. So then we would have to consider choshen l'zera hav. In any case, so if you're going to say zev zeh godim, then what are you going to say? Why are we talking about the baby being also in the first place? It was conceived after gemar din, but it's also from something else, which is mutter, the father. So why don't we? And again, like Tosfos is saying, at least here where the father is mutter, even though the mother is also, maybe we should take that into consideration. Ela Omer Ravina, so you're right. Ravina says we can't fix up the. So again, we're trying to fix up the braisa that we brought before that just distinguished between whether the baby was born after Gemar Din or before it. So we're still trying to fix up that braisa. So Omer Ravina, Ema, so you're right. You have to fix up the braisa and say as follows: Imadshel Enigma Din Ibra V'Yolda. If the mother animal that killed had become pregnant and gave birth before Gemar Din, v'lada mutter, then the baby is mutter, because now you have no problem at all. Now the it wasn't in her womb when the negicha took place. So you can't say he v'lada nagchu, and it was born before Gemar Din, and it's only at Gemar Din that the mother animal becomes osur. The im adshela nigma dina ibra or mishin nigma dina yolda, but if the mother became pregnant before Gemar Din and then gave birth after Gemar Din, Vlada Osir, then the Vlad is going to be Osir, not because he was Vlada Naghu, because then the baby wasn't yet in existence at the time of the attack, but rather because Uber Yerech Imayhu, because the baby is considered to be a part of its mother. And therefore, when the Gemar Din was done, and the mother was pregnant at the time, then the baby was convicted along with it.
You say that by a Saita too?
By Saita, where does Uber Yerachimayahu come in with a Saita?
Whether we wait for her to give birth?
No, I mean, the Gemara mentions, I don't know if it talks about that anywhere as far as a Saita, if we wait for her to give birth. We do have the Gemara mentions, and the Mishnah mentions in Erchin that in general, if a pregnant woman is convicted by Beis Din, then generally speaking, we execute her rather than waiting for the baby to be born. Only if she already went into labor, then we wait for the baby to be born, and then we do that. So, in general, so we do generally say Uba Yerach Imayhu, although I mean, that itself is a point of discussion in a few places in Shas, but that's what we're saying. Because Uber Yerachimai, who therefore it's considered to be part of the or part of the mother, and therefore when the mother animal is convicted, then so is the baby. So Tosfos, one second. So Tosfos actually discusses in some detail over here whether in fact that is the halacha, and Tosfos points out. Now before we said, for example, when we mentioned Zeva Zegodim, the Gemara asked how you're going to understand it according to the two respective opinions. The fact that the Gemara doesn't mention that over here would seem to indicate that the halacha is in fact Uba Yerech Imayhu, and then Tosfos goes and discusses how that applies to various other areas in halacha. The Orach HaNer actually says that maybe even according to the Rishonim who say that even according to the opinions that we say that Uber is not Yerach Imay, that no, Dafka over here we would say Uber Yerach Imay who, because again we're talking specifically about Gemar Din, and therefore in other words when Gemar Din was done, then maybe that makes, in other words, Gemar Din was done on the entire animal and everything that depends on its chayos, namely the baby as well. But maybe for other areas in halacha we wouldn't necessarily say Uber Yerach Imay. So Tosfos discusses at some length and discusses various places across Shas where this point comes up.
Can you please encapsulate what you said, that halachas, whether Actually, Nigma.
So now Ravina is saying, the Braisa is saying as follows. If the so another so here, the Braisa didn't address the case where the animal was pregnant when it attacked. For that we have Rava's din on Amud Aleph here of Lada Nagfu, that when the mother was pregnant at the time of the attack, then we say that the baby in effect participated in the attack as well, and then therefore when the mother is convicted in Beis Din, then the baby is going to be well. So therefore, so it means in other words that if we're talking about as far as bringing the baby as a korban, it's going to be also regardless, even if we only have one aid, etc. And if we're talking about as far as the baby itself being chayiv skila, then we're going to say we have to bring it to Beis Din, and yeah, it's going to be judged together with its mother because again, he v'lo danagu. Now, then you have a second possibility, which is the mother was not pregnant at the time of the attack and became pregnant later on. So now we're going to distinguish between. So now we have, on the one hand, so again, if we say Zev is a Godem also, then we're not talking about that. But within the opinion of Zev is a Godem Mutter, now at this point, this baby was brought about by two factors, one which may be also the mother, and one which is definitely Mutter, the father. So now, if the baby is born before the Gmar Din, no problem. The mother herself is not also yet. But if the baby is born after Gmar Din, meaning that the time of Gmar Din, it was still part of the mother, that's when we say Uba Yerachimai who. And therefore, we're going to say that the baby is going to be that the baby is going to be Chayiv Skila as well.
Up to review.
So what does this have to do? So therefore, so now Rabbi Hordad said in the Mishnah Koinsinois and Lekippah, that was the previous Braisa. We said Nisara Bachem, 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 Koinsinois and Lekippah, the Tanakhama had said Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon had said we give them all skila. So this Braisa, the Tanakhama of that Braisa is Rabbi Hordad. But the point is, we were saying that how does that fit with Rava's din of he of he of Lada Nagchu? So now we're saying because the Braisa is talking about where. The Braisa is talking about where the mother was not yet pregnant at the time of the attack, and therefore it's not a question of here of Lada Nagchu. There's other factors involved. Whereas here we're talking about whereas Rava's din is talking about here of Lada Nagchu, where it was pregnant at the time.
We always distinguish it from pregnant at the
So that's
time.
really well. So now she actually uses the word hukar ubra, which means you can tell that it's pregnant. So there's that factor as well to consider that. So actually, the Rashi uses the expression the iman shel nigmar din hukar ubra. If before the gemar din you were able to tell that the animal is pregnant, so the Rashash says that seems to be a tov sofer. What do you mean hukar ubra? What's the difference? If nigma dina before the baby was recognized before it was recognizable that she's pregnant, then all the more so uba yerachimahu. So fine. Maybe it's not a tov sofer in Rashi though. Maybe Rashi is saying faket. If when it gored, you couldn't tell it was pregnant. Only later on the baby developed, and now you can tell it's pregnant, even though we know later on gives birth, and we can calculate backwards and realize that it was pregnant at the time of the negicha. Nevertheless, maybe we're not going to say who v'lo d'nagchu if the baby wasn't even recognizable yet. Bechlal, by the way, when we're saying that the baby would get skila, actually said no. The Rambam says that no. The Rambam and the Rama and the Rambam in the relevant halachas as far as Nizke Momen and Nisurim Mizbeach and the Rama and all Gemara over here say that there is a difference. Now we're saying he of Lada Naghu and we're saying Uber Yerachimaihu. What's the difference? The difference is when we say Uber Yerachimaihu, we're not going to give the baby skila. It just means it's part of the Isur of the mother. So fine, it's also to bring it as a korban or it's a et cetera. But in order to give skila, it has to actually have been. It actually has to have been. Part of the negicha, and it wasn't because it wasn't conceived yet. As opposed to when we say who v'lo d'nagchu rava's din, then we would actually give the baby skila as well, because then it's considered that it actually participated in the negicha. Okay. So fine. So therefore, the bottom line is that the braisa that we brought on Amud Aleph does not contradict rava's din because we have several different details within the din over here. Okay. Now, the Mishnah had said kol chayove misas. The Mishnah had described a case where any time that you have people who are chayav misa, so the previous case of the Mishnah had been talking about where some of them are chayav misa and some not, according to all the various explanations that we said, whether we're talking about one ritzeach shenigma dinoi and a bunch of other rotzchim that lo nigma dinon, or whether we're talking about one shur and niskol together with a bunch of other shvarim, or Rava's explanation. Now, the Mishnah was talking about two different cases, one where we don't know who killed, and the other where you have a bunch of Shvarim that are mixed up. Now, though, the Mishnah had continued with another point that when all of them, we know they're Chayiv Misa, but we got them mixed up, and now we don't know which one's a Chayiv, which Misa. So then we say we give them the lesser punishment, and then you have the Machlokas of Shimon and the Chachamim, which is considered the lesser punishment, and which one the greater ones. So the Mishnah had said kol chayov misa, that anybody who's chayiv misa and they get mixed up, then we do that, we give them the lesser misa. So the Gemara says shma mina. Does that mean we can deduce from our Mishnah musru l'davar chomer, having musru l'davar kal, that when a person is given asra for something more stringent, then it also includes something more lenient? Because in other words, we would say the more lenient is included. Now, the point is, it seems it has to be that way, because otherwise, for example, let's say, so again, we have these people who are chayiv skila and who are chayiv seifa mixed up with one another, and we're saying, according to the Tanna Kamma, we give them seifa, and according to the Shimon skila, because respectively, that's the lesser punishment according to each one of them. Well, if we weren't to say musr l'davar chomer is musr l'davar akal, then how could we give them the lesser punishment? They're not chayiv that lesser punishment. They weren't given hasra for that lesser punishment. So the person, let's say, so you have one person who was mechallel Shabbos, and they told him, don't do that, you're going to be chayiv skila, and somebody else was going to have relations with one of his relatives that we learned about at the beginning of the parak, and they tell him, don't do that, you're going to be chayiv sreifa. Well, if now they get mixed up and we don't know which one was which, then how can we give them all sreifa according to the Tanna Kamma, or all skila according to Reb Shimon? The fact is they were given hasra only for skila, only for sreifa, respectively. So that would mean that we'd have to say musru l'davar chomer when they're given hasra for a stronger misa automatically includes having musra l'davar akal, and automatically that includes hasra for lesser punishments as well. It seems from the Mishnah we necessarily have to say that. But the Gemara answer is the Gemara answer is Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah kagon shehocha ma'askin kagon shehisru by stam. So actually now Tosfos does point out over here that a couple of things Tosfos points out, but one point is that actually we learned earlier in the Masechta, we learned you have a case where a person was convicted by Beis Din, and they can, for whatever reason, they can't give him the actual Misa that he's supposed to. So then we learned from Psukim that we give him, at least in certain cases, we said that we kill him with whatever Misa we can. We talk about Eretzeach over there, for example. Eretzeach is supposed to get Hereg, but let's say he's running away and we can't get him, so then we kill him with whatever Misa is available. So what's the problem over here? You have a person who's chayiv skila and another person who's chayiv sreifa. We know they're definitely chayiv misa. We can't give them both skila because you can't be machmer on them unnecessarily. But fine, based on that consideration, we should say automatically, therefore, we give them sreifa. Why is the Gemara so bothered by that point?
What was the editing of this?
Person's hechitimsa is that. That we're saying on Mem Hei Omid Beis, we learned, let's say you have a Ritzeach. He's supposed to be getting Hereg, but now let's say he's running away and we can't get him with Hereg. So how do we know that we can kill him with any Misa? And that means even not one of the four Misas based in. Well, by the same token over here, if we can't give this person Skila, because maybe he's the one who's Chayiv Sreifa, fine, there should be no question we give him Sreifa. What's the problem? So Tosfos refers over here to what they said over there, and they gave a couple of answers. First of all is, the Gemara had learned there on Mem Hei Omid Beis, the Gemara had learned that applies to certain kinds of people who are Chayiv Misa. It doesn't necessarily apply across the board. We said we had Shnei Ksuma Boim Ka'echad, so we don't necessarily apply it across the board. The din of our Mishnah would apply across the board, no matter what kind of Aveira they had done. Second of all, also Tosfos says it's different when the person is running away, meaning the Maharam teaches on that what Tosfos means by that, where he's running away, where he's refusing to accept on himself the punishment that Beis Din is supposed to give him. So then fine, we're saying that we can kill him with some other missus so he doesn't get away with it. But here we're talking about he is willing to accept the missus Beis Din. We just ourselves don't know which missus Beis Din he's chayav. So therefore, the Gemara is bothered by the question that how could you give him sefer when he was given asura for skila only, and maybe that means only skila and not sefer. Okay, so the answer is, because the case of our Mishnah would be where they didn't give him asra, they told him explicitly, you're going to be chayiv skila, you're going to be chayiv sreifa. They told him just in general, you're going to be chayiv misa. So now he's chayiv misa no matter what. V'hai Tana, who namely the therefore our Mishnah goes according to the following Tana, the Tanya, Ushar Chayovim Mrs. Shabbatura. Now this is the continuation of that point that we were learning just now about the case of the Retzeach, where we said that if we can't kill him with actually this is rather except for a Mesis. We said a Mesis, we learned earlier in the Masechta, you don't need full Hasra for him. We talked about earlier in the Masechta, do you need Hasra at all? Do you need at least some form of Hasra? We talked about earlier when we were learning about the Mesis on Daf Samach Vav. We were talking about that the person who the Mesis is trying to convince tells him, you know, how could we abandon Hashem and go worship and then go worship useless Avodah Zarah, Daf Samach Zayin, whatever. So that would be sort of like a form of Hasra. So you don't need necessarily explicit Hasra like you would in other cases. And we talked about over there, the Edom can be hiding behind a fence or something, etc. So by Mesis, you have those rules. But the Braisa continues, Ushar Chayvim Mesis Shabbat Torah. Anybody else in the Torah is Chayvim. For that, you need an Eda, you need a basin of 23, and you need Edim, and you need Asra. Rashi points out even the Mesis, you need Eda and Edim. We're mentioning these things as a group. The main point of the Braisa is that a Mesis does not require regular Asra, whereas everybody else does. So the Braisa continues. It's not enough to give Masra to tell him this thing is Osir. They have to tell him this thing is Osir, and you're going to be Chayiv Mrs. Basin for it. Rabbi Yehuda says even that's not enough. Rabbi Yehuda says he would actually have to tell him which Misa he's going to get. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, in other words, the din of our Mishnah maybe couldn't work unless we say Musr l'davar chomer, have a Musr l'davar kal. As according to Rabbi Yehuda, they tell him you're chayiv skila, then automatically there's a according to Rabbi Yehuda, then you couldn't necessarily give him sreifa unless you say that by telling him you're chayiv skila also includes sreifa. But according to the Tanakhama, it's not necessary. According to the Tanakhama, you could tell him in the first place you're going to be chayiv misa, and therefore it means. What? So therefore, so you still can't give him something that's more chomer than what he's supposed to get, which is why when you have the suffix between the Niskolim and the Nisrafim, you can't give them all of them skila, because some of them are chayiv, a lesser punishment, sreifa, and you can't be machmer on them unnecessarily. But nevertheless, you can still, even if you say musru l'davar chomer, like have a musru l'davar akal.
Why is that good according to the Tanakhama?
Because according to the Tanakhama, again, you don't need to tell him in the first place what misa he's chayiv. So therefore, so now, in the end, you were supposed to give him skila because he was machal Shabbos or Baal Imoy or whatever, and instead you're saying you're going to give him Sreifa because you got mixed up with somebody that Baal Bitoy, no problem, because to begin with, you didn't tell him when he was about to do the Avera, you're going to be Chayiv Skila. We told him to begin with, you're going to be Chayiv Misa. So fine, whatever Misa we can give him, then we'll work. But Rabbi Yehuda is saying you have to tell him which Misa. So where do we learn this from? Tanakama Yalef Mekoshish. The Tanakama learns this concept from the Mekoshish, because by the Mekoshish Eitzim, as we learned a couple of days ago, they knew that he's Chayev Misa, because the Pasuk says Mechalaleo Mois Yumos about Shabbos. They didn't know which Misa, because as we talked about over there, you know, generally Mois Yumos by itself means Chenek. On the other hand, Moshe was figuring that maybe being Mechal Shabbos is tantamount to Avodah Zarah, and therefore it should be Chayiv Skila, and he wasn't sure. And Hashem tells him, Rogam Yugam Oisei, the person is given Skila. So we see that. So now, obviously, when he was doing it, and Moitzim Moisei, the people who saw him, Mekoshish Eitzim, and brought him to Beis Din, they couldn't have given him a warning, you Chayiv Skila, because they didn't know yet that he's Chayiv Skila. So therefore, say the Chachamim that you don't need to know what Misa it is in order to give him Asra. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda counters that was a Hayras Shah. That was just Al Pi Adibur. Hashem gave them special instructions to give him skila. We can't necessarily learn from that Lodoris. And then Rashi says, since the whole point of Asra is that it has to be Yuma Sames, that the dead person should be killed, and that's the way the Pasuk phrases it, meaning from there we learn that he has to already be considered dead in the sense that he accepted the Misa on himself, then Rabbi Yehuda is saying he has to have accepted the actual Misa that he's going to get and not something else. So again, like we learned about the Retzeach, you have an exception where we say that by him, if you can't kill him with that way, then you can kill him in some other way. But ordinarily, you have to kill him only with the Misa that he was warned on, says Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the din of our Mishnah wouldn't necessarily work. In addition, we also learned on Daf Ayin Ches Amud Beis, we said the other case in the Torah where they didn't know about whether he's Chayav Misa, the Makalel, the Megadif, also was a Haras Shah because they couldn't have given him Asra for Misa at all because they didn't even know whether he's Chayav Misa at all until Hashem told Moshe that he is.
I also thought that from that story, and then the story in Gemara, and then the fact that we learn a raya that not only you cannot kill him b'misa sheino shaloi, but you cannot kill him b'misa chamura because they waited and they
No, well,
didn't.
they waited because look, they did want to do. They did want here. It wasn't a case of a mix-up between two people. Here, they in the case of the Mekoshesh Etzim, they knew he's Chayav Misa. They just didn't know yet which Misa it is. So it's no problem to put him Mishmar. They're going to put him in jail temporarily until Hashem tells them what to do. Because I mean, they could go ahead and do Chenek, just figuring that the Kol Misa Amur B'Torah Stam Chenek. But then it may turn out that it wasn't supposed to be Chenek. It was supposed to be something more. First of all, they can't do it again, and second of all, they've deprived the person of the necessary kapara that he needs. But yeah. The Mishnah had said on niskolin ben nisrof, and the Mishnah had described that what does this mean? So, for example, you have niskolin get mixed up with nisrofin, then we have the machlokas of the Tanna Kamma and Reb Shimon, whether we give them all sreifa because sreifa is less severe, or whether we give them all skila, as Reb Shimon says, because according to him, skila is less severe. So the Gemara says, the Gemara is going to talk about the wording of the Mishnah. Rabbi Cheskel was teaching the Mishnah to his son Rami. We have in a number of places in Shas, Rami by Yecheskel is mentioned. So here, Rabbi Cheskel was teaching his son Rami, Hanisrofin ben Niskolin. He worded the Mishnah that Nisrofin were mixed up with Niskolin. This is Rabbi Chesed. So we have the Gemara is going to bring now Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara is going to bring now Rabbi Yehuda, another son of Rabbi Cheskel. This is the regular Rabbi Yehuda, the Amora in Shas. His full name was Rabbi Yehuda by Yecheskel, the Talmud of Shmuel. So now Rabbi Cheskel was his father. He had two sons, Talmid Chachamim, Rami and Rabbi Yehuda. Anyway, so Rabbi Cheskel is teaching his son Rami, Hanisrofin ben that you have Nisrofin got mixed up with Niskolin, Reb Shimon Ami Yidonu, then Reb Shimon says, you give them Skila Shasrefa Chamura, because Reb Shimon holds that Srefa is Chamura, and therefore you can't be unnecessarily Machmer on them. Now, Omalei Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Yehuda says to Rabbi Cheskel that the wording of the Mishnah, the way you're saying it, can't really be correct. Abba, he says, Loi tisni, don't teach him this way, according to your girsa, hanisrofen, mixed up in his skullin, because whenever you say, like we talked about yesterday, whenever you say A mixed up with B, then it suggests that B is the larger number. So therefore, if you learn like that, if you learn the words hanisrofen min, then it implies that the ones who are getting skila are the majority, that the ones who are supposed to get skila are the majority. So Rabbi Yehuda says it can't be that way. My area, then what's the difference that Reb Shimon is saying that Reb Shimon is saying that that Srefa is more chamor? Typically, you have a better reason why you can't give them all Srefa. Not just because Srefa chamora, but because most of them are niskolin anyway, and you should be going according to the Rav. Okay, so here is where Tosfos points out. We discussed previously that we can't necessarily go according to the Roiv when you're talking about somebody who didn't kill at all, or we talked about, for example, previously a person kills a treifa, or you have a crowd of people and some of them were goyim and some of them were Jews, or some of them were treifas and some of them healthy or whatever. Then we don't necessarily we when we go according to the Roiv and when not, then but here in any case we're talking about that here we're talking about all of them are Chayav Misa, so therefore so we should so anyway we can go according to the Roiv, and then and for that reason alone we should be giving them all Skila. Ella, so Rabbi Chesko asks, Ella Hechi Asniyeh, so how should I teach the Mishnah? So Rabbi Yehuda answers him like the Girsa that we have in the Mishnah, Haniskolin ben Nisrofin. The Niskolin got mixed up in the Nisrofin. Even though the Nisrofin are the Roiv, nevertheless, Reb Shimon Omer B'Skila, you don't know B'Skila, Reb Shimon still says that you give them Skila, Shasrei Fachamora. Even though Roiv would tell us to give them Skila, because we're talking about, Roiv would tell us rather to give them Srefa, because the Srefa people are the majority. Nevertheless, Reb Shimon is saying you have to override Roiv in that case because you can't give them you can't give them a punishment which is harsher than they're supposed to get. And some of them were chayev only skila, which according to him is less chomer than sreifa, and therefore that's how it is. Well, the Gemara asks, how does that help? Ihochi ema sefer. So Rabbi Chesed asks, well, what good does that do? Then what are you going to do with the Sefer of the Mishnah? The Chumim you don't know with Sefer, where the Chum say you give them Sefer, Shaskila Chamura, because Skila is more Chamur. Why do the Chacham have to mention the point that Skila is more Chamur? Typically, Diruba Nisrafin. Anyway, most of them are Nisrafin, and for that reason alone, you should be giving them Sefer. So one way or the other, whether you have the words Nisrafin ben Eskalin or Niskalin ben Nisrafin, either way, some part of the Mishnah doesn't work. The answer is, Rabbi Yehuda answers, because that part of the Mishnah, the Chachamim are replying to Rabbi Shimon, and they're telling him as follows. Libi doch de amr tzreifa chamura. What they're telling him is like this. It's true that anyway we should be giving them skila because we should be giving them tzreifa because we go according to the roiv, and here the roiv of them are chayiv tzreifa. But in any case, they're saying that he doch the amet sreifa chamura. But you're pointing out that no, sreifa is more chamur, and therefore that would be a reason to give them skila. No, they tell him, lo, skila chamura, you should know that skila is more chamur, as they argue it out in the Mishnah. In other words, so basically they're saying two things. When they say, they're saying we give them sreifa because we're anyway talking because of the roiv. But you're saying we should go according to the miut because sreifa is more chomer. No, in fact, skila is more. In fact, skila is more chomer, and therefore, so therefore, we can't bring them. So this is, therefore, we can't bring them to the one that's more chomer. So in other words, basically, they're telling him two arguments. In this case, anyway, we have strong reason to say that they would be chayv skila. You who are arguing we should go according to the miut because skila is more is less chomer. No, skila is more chomer, and that's a second reason why not to do it. So now, once this discussion was over, Omale Shmuel Rav Yehuda. Shmuel says to Rav Yehuda, Shinina, sharp one, which is his favorite name for Rav Yehuda throughout Shas, Loi Temele La Avucha Hachi. What you said was correct. However, you shouldn't have told your father that, where you told him outright that he learned the Mishnah wrong, where he told him, Loi Tisni Abba, Loi Tisni Hachi. Don't teach my brother Rami, the Mishnah, like this, because you're not supposed to do that to your father. That's not kibbutz avim. El detanya, as we learn in a brisa, haray show you over al divrei Torah. Suppose a person's father is over on something in the Torah. Lo yomer lo abba avart al divrei Torah. Don't tell him flat out, tati, you were over on what it says in the Torah. Ella yomer lo abba kach kosa b'Torah. You say to him, Tati, this is what it says in the Torah. Now the Gemara is assuming, says Rashi, that we mean bitmia. Abba kach kosu v'Torah. Is that what it says in the Torah? So the Gemara says, wait a minute, what good does that do? So safe, hainu hach. Isn't that the same thing? When you're telling him in a tone of voice like that, that amounts to saying, how could you be saying that when it clearly says opposite to that in the Torah?
I'd rather say it as is.
One second. That's the Rambam's explanation. I'll explain in a second. This is first worth explaining according to Rashi. So Rashi understands that it means that the Gemara understood that at first he's telling him bitmia, he's telling him as a fact. So, and no, Ella Oimeloi, no, that he's telling it as a question. So no, Ella, no, what he tells it to him in a benichusa, not as a question, but as a statement. Abba mikra vatora kosu, mikra kosu vatora kahu, it says such and such on the pasuk, and let the father realize to himself, you know what, wait a minute, then that contradicts, then that contradicts the way I was learning it, and I realize it, or what I was doing, and I should realize to correct it. The Rambam seems to understand it the other way around. The Rambam understands that the Gemara had asked that it mean if he's saying b'nichusa, if he's saying abba kach kosa b'torah, then that amounts to telling him, you know, it says this in the Torah, meaning, and you're wrong. So instead, the answer is that you don't say it, you ask him as a question, not as a rhetorical question, derech tmiya, like Rashi said in the Havamina, but rather the Rambam is understanding that you say it to him as an actual question. Tati, what does it mean when it says in the Torah such and such? And then he's going to realize that it means, oh, wait a minute, well, that contradicts what I was saying or what I was doing. Now there is a point. You do find sometimes that you do find, we find throughout Shas, we have other examples where fathers and sons do argue in halacha. So there is such a concept. We have an example of that that Amman brings in Hilchas Shchita. He says about a particular din. In Hilchas Treifas, he says, my father is one of the ones who says this case is Osir, and I hold that it's Mutter. So there are cases definitely where a son can argue with his father in halacha. One thing is where it's not face to face. In that case, the Rambam is writing it years after his father passed away. But you have other examples, you have other cases like that. But so there is the possibility. After all, you know, the Torah belongs to all of us equally. But nevertheless, a son still has to show derech eretz to his father, even when they're debating in Torah.
Just one perk. How do you know which of the Rabbi Yehuda Rav Shimon said Sefer is killer? Simon. Yehuda.
Simon.
The Noah B'Sefer.
Well, okay. Yeah, very cute. All right. So Yoda, Judge Tomo was safe. Very cute. Okay.